Listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
Okay then, yes. Delta Lady, it is, my love.
Satisfied, oh, long and
Rock and roll with me.
Joe Cocker, yeah. So that was something from the past for sure. Well, how's everybody doing out there? This is the Voicemobile. I'm your host, Joyce the Voice. I'm just checking to see if I've got all my things look good. Well, I didn't get to be with you last week because I was down in Deltaville, Virginia, visiting my friend that I hadn't seen for 44 years. It was quite a reunion. I flew, which I haven't done since 2000, so that was major difference. Kind of, for those of you who travel a lot, not a big deal, but yeah, it was like all the different changes. As it turns out, getting through security wasn't a big deal, except that the way I had my hair up, the metal went off, so I had to take my hair down and take out the barrettes and things that had the metal in it. And then coming back, I purposely bought something that was elastic, and the alarm still went off. It was the bracelets I was wearing. Oh, boy. But that was that. They didn't really, make you take off your shoes, because I know I brought open sandals that I could slip in and out of, but that wasn't really necessary. Of course, I think on international flights, it might be different. This was, just domestic. But I did get there 2 hours ahead, as they suggested, and everybody else was there waiting in line. And I did discover that getting from where you check in with your, of course, everything is now on the computer, either on your smartphone or the icon that you have to print out. So if you don't have a printer, if you don't have a smartphone, you're out of luck. But I managed to get through all of those little things. And they've changed everything here on the screen. This is interesting. Huh. I don't understand it, but we'll see. Okay. So, things were, trying to get, once you got past the security check-in point, then you had to get to your gate. Oh my gosh. Now, in the Boston case, there were, I think it was Boston, if I'm remembering right now, there was a walkway, that was motorized. So that wasn't so bad. But when I came back, I had, I didn't have a direct flight. Going, I had a direct flight, which is great. Coming back, I had a layover in LaGuardia, and that was crazy. Barely enough time to get from one gate to the other gate, and it was like miles of walking. Luckily, one of the people that worked there had a motorized cart, and he picked me and my suitcase up. And the thing that I did, which I would highly recommend, is that you don't check bags. You just take one that you can carry on, and that's it. And you don't have to be waiting. But on those flights where you have a layover, they actually check them anyway because there's not enough room. This was a small plane of only like 36 seats or something. And coming in, it was kind of like turbulence, but it wasn't so much turbulence. It's just a small plane. But then, you know, if it weren't for that guy, I would never have made that connection. I was kind of pooped from the whole thing. But I did it. I made it. And my time down there with my friend Martha was fabulous. She and her husband are living on their boat, which is, you know, like a 50-foot boat. I had my own bedroom in the bow of the boat and my own bathroom, my own shower. It was pretty amazing. It was hot, though. It was really hot and really humid, even hotter than it is here, if you can imagine that. And but we did get to go to Yorkville and to Williamsburg, both very historical areas. And my friend comes from that whole Southern tradition. She's actually a member of the DAR, which was like completely the opposite part of the world that I was from, but very interested in history, doing her family tree. And she knew the history of the Revolutionary period, of the Civil War period, all the different places. It was fascinating. I learned a great deal. And there was one monument in Yorkville that was this 84-foot gorgeous monument at the time of the Revolutionary War, of when Cornwall surrendered. I hope that's right. Anyway, somebody will let me know if I'm wrong. I should have taken notes. But in any case, Congress allocated the funds. It took several years for it to be built. And it is really, it's overlooking a beautiful area. And it's quite gorgeous, actually, as far as monuments go. All these beautiful carvings on it, a lot of language explaining what went on. Anyhow, it was quite an interesting time. And then we did take the boat out. The conditions were right the evening before I left. And that was amazing, going out on the water. Very beautiful. So I feel very blessed that I got to do that. It's the first time I've really gotten away in many, many years, except for going upstate New York to see my mom, which was fabulous too. And so got back. My kitty was fine. My two friends, my friend and my neighbor, both took care that my kitty was fed. And so, but he was mad at me. How do I know this? Because even after I came and took care of him, he took umbrage that I didn't let him out exactly when he wanted to be let out or whatever, and hid under a piece of fabric and clawed me. I was ready to kill. I went chasing after him with a water bottle, which is the only thing I can do. I lived, but it's just, you know, he's a very feisty cat, my darling pussy cat that I love dearly, but he is like a tiger. So having said all of that, we are in a period of time, we meaning the Jewish tradition, the Jewish people, called Between the Fences or the 3 weeks. And that started with a fast, a daytime fast that starts at sunrise to after dark, and that happened on Sunday. And this is the thing, that both temples were destroyed in this period of time. The walls were breached on this day. Now, in one case, I think in the case of the first temple, it was, I don't know if I'm going to get this exactly right, the 9th. In the case of the second temple, maybe it was the 16th. It was two different dates, or the 11th. The rabbis didn't want us to have to fast twice, so they agreed on the 9th as being the time to begin this period of mourning. So at the end of this 3-week period, we have a 25-hour fast called Tisha B'Av. That is the official mourning for the loss of the temples. And I'm in a study group with a number of women, and you know, we were talking about, well, what is this about for us today? What is this, you know, what does the loss of the temple mean to us? It was very interesting to hear what different women, what their take was on this. And some women found it harder than others to get, you know, into this whole mood. One woman said, because she mentioned somebody who lost their mother, and it was sometime later she went to do something she always had done with her mother, and then she really felt the loss. And so by thinking of that, she could relate. So, you know, for most of us, we think about the Holocaust as being something we can relate to, but thank God most of us weren't directly involved in the Holocaust. And so we may know people who know people, but that's also in some ways getting distant. And so how do you, you know, how do you think about this? Because the rabbis say those who mourn the loss of the temple will dance at the time of the rebuilding of the third temple. And if we're not building the third temple, then we're part, in each generation, we're part of losing the temple. It's very interesting. So all this is kind of a little hard to, if you don't have any background, and it's hard to understand. But the Romans found it fascinating that young children, this was back in the days when the Romans were persecuting the Jews, yet again. And what were the children learning? They were learning about the loss of the temple. And they thought, a tradition that can hearken back and remember the loss of this will endure. And so it is that we endure. So I will be talking more about this. But there is something happening tomorrow night that I've mentioned. I had an interview with Steve Velcor, who is the guitarist of Laku Music. That band will be making their Boston first appearance. They're on tour from Haiti, and they were in response to the terrible devastation of the earthquake in Haiti. And so this was a project in response to that, some great musicians, and it turned out to become a group, Laku, L-A-K-O-U, Mizik, M-I-Z-I-K. And so they're going to be performing at the great, oh God, now I'm forgetting the name of the club. Maybe I have it written down here somewhere, I hope, because I've never been to this club. I know it's on Comm Ave and Great Scott. Oh good, I'm glad I have it written down. The memory's not so good anymore. Great Scott. So that's on Comm Ave. I will be there. Normally, I wouldn't be going to an event during this three-week period, but because this is the only time that they're going to be around here for who knows when, I am going to show up. So I'm going to play something from then, and let me see which cut I want to play for you. I've played most of the cuts of their album, which is really fantastic. I know I had it in my car for many weeks, and I loved it. So, let's see. Pese Cafe, Pandemon Tombe, Amba. Trying to remember. I don't know if I have those notes with me. There was one that would be, well, I guess I'll just pick one. Zao Pilete. Let's try that.
Seja não é eu, não é eu, não é eu. Seja não é sambaio, lampeia na lagoa. Sambaio é olê. Sambaio é olê buio, na lagoa, na tracaio, na vitoaio. Sambaio, uma ilê. Thank you.
poula à pain, nous c'est l'étoile là. N'a ouvert pas de la mounette.
Never.
the beautiful music of Leslie Pinchuk, and that is from her CD In the Nature of Things on Pinch Hard Records. The song is called Ready. And before that, we heard from Lefteris Cordis, and the song is a Beatles song, and I love her, and it's Mediterrana, or Goddess of Light. We opened up with La Kumizik, Zao Pile Te, from their CD on Kumbacha, Wadio. They're going to be performing live tomorrow night at the Great Scott Club on Comav, and I will be there. So I hope to see some of you there as well. Something that you need to know about. This is a message from the Massachusetts Teachers Association, or the MTA. Save Our Public Schools. They're at saveourpublicschoolsma.com. They're asking you to vote no on lifting the charter cap. Why? Because it's bad for public school students. Lost funding. This year alone, charters will divert more than $400 million from public schools. That's money districts desperately need so they can offer more science, technology, arts, and music classes, as well as preschool services and smaller class sizes. The money should be kept in the public schools for the benefit of all students. There's no local accountability. Charter schools are not accountable to their local communities. The state often approves them over the united opposition of the communities where they will be located. That's wrong. Local communities should have the final say on what kinds of schools they want. Separate and unequal education. Charter schools are divisive, creating a two-track system described by the NAACP as, quote, separate and unequal, unquote. They typically underserve English language learners and special needs students, leaving public schools with fewer resources to educate a higher need population. What can you do? Pro-charter groups have millions of dollars from hedge funds and corporate backers. We rely on people power to stand up for the students in our public schools. If some of our public schools are falling short, we should fix them, not keep taking money away and giving it to unaccountable charters. You can go to facebook.com/saveourpublicschoolsma or massteacher.org/charters. There you have it. So, hope you're staying hydrated on this, 6 days, 7 days of 90 plus weather. Yuck. That's the sound of me hydrating. So, I don't know. Maybe you're one of these people who just bemoan the fact that it wasn't beach weather, so you should be very happy. All right. So, I'm going to continue on. Here's some music from a local guy who is just spectacular.
Man must explore. Magnificent desolation.
Oh, samove, lui ra lo chi a toi modi, shifte ho, mi shante ho, heima heima yenachamuni, taloch lefanai, shuchan, neget zorelai, li shanta v'shamen roshi,
dich tat in dem Glanz viel mit Freude, in ich wirklich noch sein, wenn ich sing, wie es klingt bei dem Tanz, du's Mädel ist, aber nicht mein. Sich halt bei dem Tanz, also ich fremd, also ich kalt. Ich schmeichel, ich lach, in ich tracht, als schwer ist sie lach, wenn du das Herz ist versteht. Gedenkt, erst nicht lang ist du's gewählt, in den Garten von Blumen erbracht, wie getanzt, in gelacht, a ganze Nacht, wie a Hulem ist du's noch.
Oh, so this is the Semmer Ensemble. Ich tanz und mein Herz winnt. And it's live. Rescued Treasure is the name of the disc, live at Gorky Berlin. The label's Piranha. And thanks to Bob, who made it possible for me to have this CD, because the people who are promoting it, which is fantastic and perfect for this show, the Voicemobile. Did I say that? That this is the Voicemobile? Anyway, live here at WMFO in Medford. This is to recapture the lost music which the Nazis tried to obliterate, etc., etc. You know the drift. Anyhow, it's songs of love, jealousy, war, the Torah, socialism, dancing girls, affairs, player pianos, rescued treasures of Semmer, the last Jewish label standing under Nazi rule. That's what it is. And I can't read. Let's see. The artistic director, Alan Burnett, looks like producer Ben Mendelsohn, recorded live. So they didn't have any more CDs for me. He said just download it. But Bob was very nice to find a way to get it so that I could have a CD and play it. God bless you. So I'm going to play more from this because I think it's a totally perfect thing to share with you. But I think I'm going to share a little bit more about this, the 3 weeks. So here we are at, as I said, WMFO Medford. This is the Voicemobile. Okay. And This book is called The Book of Our Heritage by Eliyahu Kitov. This is a three-volume set. If you're interested in knowing anything in detail about the Jewish holy day observances, this is the headquarters. And Tammuz is the month that we are now in. It's the fourth in the number of months, counting from Nisan. Nisan is the month of Passover when we left Egypt. And in scripture, it is thus called the fourth month. Like the names of the other months, Tammuz originated in Babylon. Its original connotation related to an ancient Babylonian pagan cult. That's according to Haskell. Rosh Chodesh Tammuz always consists of 2 days. Well, I'm not going to get into all that. So, okay, where I want to start here. The fast of the 17th of Tammuz, that's the fast we just observed. These are days when all Israel fasts because of the tribulations which they recall. The purpose of such fast days is to awaken hearts toward repentance through recalling our forefathers' misdeeds which led to calamities, as well as our own repetition of those deeds. Aha. There's the rub. As it is said, and they shall utter confessions for their transgressions and the transgressions of their fathers. Each person is therefore required to engage in self-examination on those days and to undertake repentance from wrongdoing. For the essential significance of the fast consists of repentance, and fasting itself is merely a preparation for repentance. And it is thus written of the people of Nineveh, the Lord saw their actions, upon which the rabbis have commented. It is not said, and he saw their sackcloth and fasting, but rather their actions. Those who spend the fast day idly emphasize what is secondary and disregard what is essential. Nevertheless, one cannot discharge his obligations through repentance alone, for fasting is prescribed on these days as a prophetic ordinance, and all Israel have accepted these fast days through the generations. There were 5 calamities on the same day. There were more than that, but these are the 5 we talk about. So the first tablets of the law were broken when Moshe descended from the mountain and saw the golden calf and accompanying dancing. The daily sacrificial offering ceased in the first temple, since the Kohanim no longer found available sheep for the offerings. The time of the destruction of the second temple, the walls of Jerusalem were breached. Apostumus, the wicked, burned the Torah. An idol was placed in the sanctuary. The time of the destruction of the first temple, the walls of Jerusalem were also breached in Tammuz on the 9th of the month. In order, however, not to burden the community excessively, the rabbis did not designate both days as fast days because of their proximity. They rather designated the commemoration of both events for the 17th of Tammuz. Since the destruction of the second temple is to us a greater calamity than that of the first temple. Okay, so the first temple was the 9th of Tammuz, the second was the 17th, so we observe the 17th. Okay, so that's a sense of the beginning of these 3 weeks. And there's another section, but I don't know exactly.